May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Hymn 376.
Thank you. Our reading from the Word of God this evening is taken from the Gospel recorded by Luke, the first chapter, commencing to read at verse 26. Luke chapter 20, Luke 1 from verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For though as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. The Lord bless unto us the reading of that portion of his holy word, and help us now in prayer. Almighty and kind Lord God, help us now to venture near thy holy throne in the attitude of prayer. And Lord, what a wonder it is that thou dost permit such unworthy sinners as we, such polluted worms of the earth, to draw near unto thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the throne of grace. Where would we be without it? We would be lost and perished. But Lord, we come to thee as sinners, as poor and wretched and blind and polluted and vile and undone. Lord, we come to thee with deep debt. We come to thee, Lord, as sinners, not just by practice, but also by nature. We confess it is natural to us to sin. And we confess, Lord, that by nature we live in sin and we love to do so. But we pray this evening that thou wouldst have mercy upon us and give to us that new nature which thou hast promised to give to thy sheep. That nature that cannot sin. That nature that is a holy nature. That nature that maker is God, that loves the things of God, that loves God himself, that loves his people and his ways. Lord, give to each this night that new nature, that new man of grace, that new man of faith, which once given will surely and certainly be crowned with glory in heaven hereafter to come. Lord, leave us not to be at war with God, but grant that we might have that peace with God made by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lead us, we pray, to that blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, that speaks of pardon, that speaks of mercy, that speaks of loving kindness, that speaks of release, that speaks of everlasting love and favour and nearness. Lord, may each one of us this night be favoured to be led to Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. And may we prove him to be our friend. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst follow with thy blessing the reading service here this morning hour. And what was attended to in that service, we pray, Lord, that the seed may have found good ground, and that in thy time it may bring forth a harvest, and that that harvest may be seen for the glory of thy name and for the good of thy people. We pray thy blessing upon this people. And we ask thee, Lord, to watch over them and do thou supply their every need. Bless the deacons of this cause and help them in the office that thou hast called them to. Help them to labour together in thy name. And give them the wisdom and the grace and the ability to fulfil their office on behalf of this church. And remember the deacon in the desk and his wife as they fly many miles to the other side of the world later this week. May they be under the shadow of the Almighty. And may they feel to be under the convoy of thy love, safe in thy tender care and keeping. Watch over them and bring them back, we pray, at the appointed time to this people. And bless each member of this church. Unite them together in love and fear and union in the Lord. And keep them together. And may they often be favoured to talk and commune together as they walk the pathway of life of Jesus and his love and what he's done for them. And we pray, Lord, thy blessing upon each member of this congregation. Add, if it is thy will, to this church from this congregation, those who have been with Jesus, those who have heard his word, those whom his love has been revealed. And we pray, Lord, that in thy time each in this congregation, it may be said that they have been with Jesus. Whether old, whether middle-aged, or whether young, Lord, may each be led in thy time into thy presence to be saved by God's almighty hand. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless then this people. Remember those who walk in bereavement and sorrow and distress and trials and trouble and tribulation. Some, Lord, have walked that path a long time. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near to them. Some have walked a shorter time. Whether long or short, this evening draw near unto them and grant them to know thy comfort, thy sanctifying presence, and if it is thy will, a time of deliverance. Bless those who are walking in the joys of life, in the successes of life. Follow with thy blessing what was done here on the past Friday. And we pray, gracious God, that thou would smile and bless that union between husband and wife. And we pray, Lord, that thy blessing may rest upon each family here, and also those who do not have a family, those perhaps who feel to be alone. Lord, may they and may the families here alike know the blessing of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant wisdom to parents, to bring up children in thy fear, and also to grandparents. May they be enabled from time to time to tell their grandchildren of thee. We pray, Lord, for thy watchful care to be over the young, that thou would supply their needs, that thou would put a hedge about them, that early in life thou wouldst visit them with thy great salvation, and that thou wouldst make them an abundant blessing to this people and to the house of God. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst watch over those in the midst of life, guide them, defend them, keep them, bless them. Grant strength equal to for each day, and thy grace all sufficient. And grant, Lord, that among the busy scenes of life, they may not forget to look to thee. They may not be so swallowed up with the natural things of this time state to remember that, to forget that they have an ever dying soul. Lord, may they be led to thee, and may they be enabled to cast their cares upon thee. May they prove that thou dost care for them, open doors for them and guide them and supply their need. And then, Lord, remember those in the evening time of life. And Lord, they too need thee to open doors for them. They too need thy guidance. And they too need thy keeping watchful hand to be upon them. Remember the people here in old age. And Lord, visit them with thy mercy. And may their last days prove to be their best days. May they be favoured to spend their last days sitting at thy feet. Then, Lord, we pray thy richest blessing to rest upon those who gather here from other causes of truth this evening. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them, and may there be a purpose for them being found here in the house of God this evening. And do bless the causes of truth that they represent. And we ask thee, Lord, to remember those who are not here this evening for whatever reason. May they prove where they are that thou canst come to them, even though they may be deprived from the house of God. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bring in others to worship here. Put forth thine hand, we pray, and grant that awakened sinners may be directed by thee to this house of prayer. And may they be directed here for the very purpose of thee to meet them with thy sovereign grace and mercy through the ministry of thy word here. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst prosper the gospel. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember thy servants as they preach thy word up and down this land this night and throughout the whole world, and crown with success the labours of thy servants this day. And grant, Lord, that there may be much good done. May Satan's kingdom be weakened and diminished. May the kingdom of God be strengthened and increased. And Lord, visit us here this night if it is thy will. Make one of our number. Speak to us, Lord, and make us listen. And make us submit to thy word and will. We ask in the mighty, precious, all-prevailing name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 634. When saints together meet, God's goodness to declare, The season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Of Christ they speak, of Christ they boast. While Jesus lives, they can't be lost. Hymn 634.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn this evening hour to the Gospel as recorded by John, the 10th chapter. Three words you'll find in the 10th verse. John chapter 10, three words in verse 10. I am come. The whole verse reads, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come. The Lord Jesus, when he speaks here, is in the closing days of his life and ministry. But a very few short days after this, he would be betrayed, arrested, and crucified. These are amongst the last words of his public ministry. I am come that they might have life. And he is speaking here as he often spoke to a congregation that was divided between saints and sinners. There were his disciples who loved to hear him speak and who rejoiced in his words and doctrine. There were those who followed him in his ministry for the same reason, because God had touched their hearts. And by faith, they were unable to enter in and to understand what the Lord was saying. And then there were the Pharisees and the scribes and the publicans and those who judged things just by sense and reason. And they rejected what he said. We read later on in this chapter, among the most solemn words our Lord ever said, and the Jews asked him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? What a question. Jesus never made them to doubt. It was Satan who did that. It was their own pride who did that. It was their own natural reasoning that did that. And they say, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And how does Jesus answer? I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If we are among the sheep of Christ, we will be among those who by faith hear and recognize the voice of Jesus as the voice of the Good Shepherd, as the voice of that great shepherd of the sheep. Now here he says, I am come. And then he gives a reason why he came. that they might have life. Now we read this evening of the circumstances surrounding his birth. But the angel Gabriel sent from God with those good tidings of great joy to Mary. And of how he spake of Christ being the Son of the Highest. And how his father would give unto him the throne of his father David. He came as Saviour, but he also came as King. You know, friends, there are many people who want Jesus as Saviour, but they do not want him as their King. They do not want to be ruled by him. They do not want to obey him. When his will and theirs clash, they would rather follow their own hearts. But friends, if Jesus is to be your Saviour, he will also be your King. And you will know him to come into your heart as King, to reign and to rule. You will know what it is for him to come and to subdue your heart by sovereign grace. Because by nature, we are enemies with God. By nature, we will do anything than submit to the rule of God. But Christ comes by faith, by the working of the Holy Spirit into his people's hearts. And he comes as King. By his sovereign, almighty power, he defeats Satan. And he overthrows his kingdom in the hearts of his people. And he plants his fear in his people in that day when he comes. So that their lives are changed and they're never quite the same again. Have you known that change? Or are you as you were born? If Christ is your King and mine, you'll know what it is to love the Ten Commandments. You'll know what it is to view them differently to what you once viewed them when Satan was your king. Then Satan presented them in the worst light he could, and you believed him. But when Christ comes in as King, you'll view those commandments in a totally different way. And it will be your delight, and it will be your privilege, and it will be your joy, by God's grace, to seek to keep and to honour those commandments in order to walk worthy of your King. I am come. It's only as God gives that saving grace, it's only as God the Holy Spirit comes into the heart, that you are able to walk in those commandments in that gospel sense. I am come. And then again, there will be those times when You will come face to face with the sovereignty of your King. And by grace you will submit to that sovereignty, that when his will and when your will in a certain matter disagree, you'll be brought to submit and say, "Thy will be done." And walk in that way that you would never have walked in by nature. I am come. I am come as King to proclaim peace, pardon, liberty. Satan has to obey this King, although he does it most reluctantly. And he reigns over his children for their good. And it is through the power of this King that you know that peace, that pardon, that liberty. Because God alone has the right to give you pardon. God alone has the right to forgive sins. You may forgive yourself, that doesn't mean God has forgiven you. I am come. I am come as Saviour. And in order for him to reign in your heart, he came into this sin-cursed earth as the Saviour. And we read how he came, born of that Virgin Mary, born by birth mysterious, we cannot begin to explain, nor enter into, nor understand that work, that holy work, that sacred work. The child of God, have you ever considered this? It was out of love to you that the Father sent the Son from heaven's glory into the Virgin Mary to be born. It was out of love to you that the Saviour willingly left his radiant throne on high and stooped into that womb. And it was out of love to you that the precious Holy Ghost did that mysterious holy work of love on your behalf. Had the Saviour not come, there would be no hope of salvation for you and for me. But the Saviour has come. Blessed be his holy, precious name. I am come, that they might have life. And this was the purpose of that great work, that mysterious work, that holy work, that they might have life. Who? His sheep. And he has come as that good shepherd. And just as a shepherd's whole life centers around his sheep and centers around the care of that flock and how they're never out of that shepherd's thoughts, so the Lord Jesus Christ's whole life was taken up with the care of his sheep, the concern of his sheep. That was his Father's business. I am come. His sheep needed food and water. to survive. And Jesus Christ himself is that bread and is that water of life. In his holy life, I am come. I am come to live among men that life of righteousness. I am come to endure the trials and the temptations of Satan. Isaiah calls him a tried stone. There was no life more tried upon earth than the life of Jesus Christ. And we do not understand or appreciate enough just what a sorrow that was in his life to be tempted by Satan. In his holiness, Christ hated sin. He couldn't stand sin. He couldn't tolerate sin. It oppressed him. It grieved him. It wounded him. So what a trial must it have been to have the author of sin again and again and again come to him and tempt him to do that which dishonored the will of his holy Father. And yet, child of God, he came there. I am come for you. He was tried and tempted too, all to succor every tempted, burdened son. He came as that man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And it was sin that caused that grief. Your sin, child of God. The sins of his whole church. But it also grieved him when he saw the sins of those who were not his church either. And it grieved him to see the work of Satan. It was no easy thing for the Son of Man to endure the attentions of Satan. That righteousness is the most tried and tested obedience that there has ever been. And yet that righteousness is the only righteousness which is pure, which is perfect, which is sinless, which is undefiled, and which is suitable for you and for me. That's part of the food of the sheep. You ever feasted upon the righteousness of Christ? What are you feasting on? A goat will feast on anything but Christ. And let us examine our hearts this evening. What does our souls feed on? Examine your heart. Because while a goat, naturally speaking, can literally eat almost anything, a sheep can only eat the tender grass, can it not? And so it is spiritually, if your soul is alive, the only thing it will be able to feed on is Jesus Christ. You won't be able to feed on your own righteousness. Because It is nothing but filthy rags. It is full of holes. It is unfit to be seen. It is polluted. It is insufficient. If you're dressed in that garment of your righteousness, you will be ashamed that the Lord Jesus is coming at last. But if you're dressed in this garment for which Jesus came to weave his life, which he commenced that great work in the stable in Bethlehem, and which he finished that work of righteousness when he cried out triumphant, "It is finished," upon that cross. If you are favored to be dressed in that righteousness, you will never be ashamed. And you will rejoice that he came, and you'll wonder and you'll marvel that he came for you personally. That when he was born, he was born for you. That when he lived for you. That when he obeyed the various commands of that holy law, and when he submitted himself to his holy Father's will, he did so on each occasion for you. This is the favor of a sheep of Christ. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The righteousness of Christ is often referred to, is it not, as the wedding garment. And in Eastern countries, even today, when there is a wedding, the author of the feast will send the garment that he wants each guest to wear. And that is the evidence that the invitation has been given and that the person coming has a right to attend. And he will give to the keeper on the door a sample of that garment. And he will give the charge that he's to only let in those who are wearing this garment. And if they come in their own garment, they'll be turned away. They won't get admittance. They will be regarded as insulting their host. But if they wear the garment that he has provided for them, and which that keeper of that door will recognize, he will let them in as properly enrolled guests. And so it is, if you and I are to get to heaven, we can't come dressed in our own obedience. We can't come trusting in our own works. It won't do. It won't be accepted. It won't be good enough. It will be an insult to God, because by coming like that, you are insulting the righteousness of Christ. And you're saying that what God has provided is not good enough. But if you are dressed in the righteousness of Christ, and one of the evidences that you are dressed in that righteousness is that you find that righteousness attractive. You find that righteousness to be precious. You find a sweetness and a beauty in that righteousness that does not compare with any other beauty. And also you find you have to plead that righteousness of Jesus Christ before the throne of God in heaven. Then you have a good hope that you are indeed dressed in this righteousness. If you're dressed in the righteousness of Christ, it will mean something to you. If you are not and a stranger to it, it won't mean anything to you. What are you trusting in? Those whom Jesus came for. Trust and are dressed in and alone in the righteousness. That means the obedience. That means the life that Jesus lived. I am come. I was reminded earlier this week of a line of a hymn we used to sing at school. Very simple. All his life was free from blame. In fact, if I remember it right, the whole verse went something like this. Jesus lived for sinful men. All his life was freed from blame. Now this evening you might not feel that you can say that Jesus lived for you. But you know one thing, that your life has got nothing but blame to it. Then you are not forbidden to come to God and to tell him that you feel like that. Tell him how you feel you have no righteousness of your own. Tell him how your life is full of sin and disgrace. Tell him that you know you cannot save yourself. Tell him that you try and try and try again, and you find you only do worse. And ask him to clothe you in that righteous garment for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. And you'll find that he will not refuse you. Satan tells you it's no use, that you cried like that long enough, that it will never be any good. But can you recall of one case in Scripture where a poor, needy sinner in great need came to Jesus and was rejected? Search the Scriptures, you won't find one case. The proud were rejected. The Pharisee were rejected. Those who came on legal grounds were rejected. But those who came as poor, needy sinners, Jesus never cast them out. Now why is he going to begin with you? Carry on praying. Carry on pleading. And in God's own good time, he'll prove to you that Jesus came for you. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now this good shepherd has laid down his life for his sheep, as their Saviour. And he has shed his precious, holy, sinless, spotless, pure blood for them. That precious blood has been shed for sinners. And again, you are not forbidden as a sinner to come and to plead that that blood may answer for you. Ask God to show you the wonderful power in that blood. Ask him to show to you the pardon that is there, the life that comes through that blood. And those of you who have long believed, and you have tasted before that the Lord is gracious, ask the Lord to bring you back to Calvary. that you may have fresh glimpses and fresh applications and fresh experiences of the wonderful power that there is in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, we are told. That means that there is no sin that you have committed, which is so polluted, so offensive to God, so deeply stained of your soul, which has put you in such a deep debt. But what the blood of Jesus Christ can completely cleanse. Nothing can stand before the power of the blood of Jesus Christ when it is applied to the soul. Satan can't stand before it. Your guilty conscience will then be healed. And when he comes into your heart and brings the application of that precious blood, you will know what it is to have rest in your soul. You'll know what it is to have peace with God. Why? Because Jesus has come. When Jesus comes into the heart, then you are brought to know him. That's the difference between living faith and a dead faith. A living faith will bring you to know Jesus. Not just as an historical figure. Not just because others may have known him and told you of him. But you'll be brought to know him yourself. You'll be brought to prove him yourself. You'll be brought by faith to hear his words. To hear his voice. Of power. With authority. You'll be taught to trust his voice as a sheep. Have you ever noticed that the only voice that a sheep will trust is the shepherd? They don't know you. You speak to them, they'll run away from you. I'm reminded of an incident some years ago now when my wife and family and I were walking in a flock of sheep and lambs. And the nearer we got to those sheep, the more they went to the other side of the field. But then we had got halfway into this field, and suddenly this vehicle draws up to the gate, and this man gets out, he opens the gate and he drives into the field. And with a remarkable unity, every one in that flock of sheep, and there were probably several hundred of them, those who were feeding stopped feeding. Those who were lying down and resting got up. And they all looked. The shepherd had come. And then they started to call. And then they started to run towards where he was. And it didn't matter that we were there. They had lost sight of us. And some of them went very close. See, it didn't matter. Why? Because the shepherd had come. The one they trusted. All was well. So it is with a child of God. So it is with those who have life They are brought by faith to know the shepherd's voice. They are brought by faith to know his presence and to take comfort in that presence and in that voice, because they know it will not let them down. Some of you know that experience, do you not? I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Have you got then that mark of the sheep that you recognize the Good Shepherd, and that you recognize when he comes? You recognize his voice. You recognize by faith when you see him. You know he's there. I am come. This Good Shepherd has given his life. He has shed his precious holy blood for the sheep. He's paid that great debt in full that they owed. That debt of sin. That debt of pain. That debt of loneliness. That debt of sorrow. That debt of disgrace, that debt of shame. Paid is the mighty debt they owed. Salvation is of grace. How sovereign is the love of God to Israel's favored race. Paid is the mighty debt they owed. Salvation is of grace. This precious truth his word declares with power from heaven above. And God sent his equal Son to show salvation is of grace. I am come. And then he comes as your shepherd to lead you. And he will lead you into those paths which are for the good of your soul. Sometimes those paths he might lead you in may be strange paths. But there will be necessary paths. Again, I'm reminded of an analogy with the sheep. Many years ago in the land of Israel, there was a man who saw a flock of sheep being led by the shepherd. Single line through a valley. They were on a precipice. And it was very steep and it was very narrow, which is why that they were going single-handed, single file. It was dark and cold in that valley. And you might wonder why the shepherd was leading them there. Especially when if they made the wrong step, it would be certain death. But the other side of that valley was a meadow of tender grass. And the other side of that valley was shade from the midday sun. And the other side of that valley was some water which was still and quiet. And that is why the shepherd was leading them. It was necessary for them to go through that valley to get to the green pastures that they needed, to get to that shade they needed from the midday sun, to get the water that they needed. Now, trust your shepherd this evening. Yes, he may be leading you in a dark pathway. He may be leading you in a difficult pathway. He may be leading you in a path you did not expect and you cannot understand. But remember, he's in front. He sees what's in front. You don't. So trust him. He cannot make a mistake. He will not make a mistake. He knows what he's doing. And he'll bring you out in his own good time. And then you'll understand why. I am come. One day he'll come to take you home, child of God. The pilgrim way will be done. The fight and battle will be over and ended. And that is the most precious coming of all, is it not, when Jesus comes to call his people home to heaven. He who's led you all your pilgrim way through will not fail you now. When you need him most, which will be the hour and article of death, your good shepherd will be there. He will come. It doesn't necessarily mean you'll enjoy his presence, nor do all of his sheep do, but he'll be there just the same. He'll be there protecting you. He'll be there guiding you. He'll be there keeping Satan at bay, because Satan will be there longing to destroy you, but he will say, touch not his life. Yes, it may be you'll be favored to be blessed in those last hours. Whether you are or not, your good shepherd leading you, you have nothing to fear. Nothing, there'll be no harm come to you. And it will end in heaven's glory. It will end in fullness of joy. It will end in everlasting peace and rest and quietness. I am come. There you'll no longer know his rebukes and his reproofs. Sometimes he comes like that, and it's necessary when he does. But in heaven there will be no more rebuking, correcting or reproving, because the old nature will have gone. There, believer, you will rest with your good shepherd in that fullness of joy. You will know that abundant life that we have here in this verse. He came down to this earth to live for you, to suffer for you, that you might one day be with him in heaven. And that moment after death, he will come. And he will present you before his Father's throne, dressed in that wedding garment, washed in that precious blood, as one of his sheep. And he will say, Father, here is one for whom thou gavest to me. Here's one who I suffered for. Here's one who I gave my life for. Here's one who I live for. Father, I will that this one be with me where I am to behold my glory. Then, child of God, you'll know what it is for him to come forevermore. And there'll be no more separation. And then in eternity, to spend in his presence, to enjoy his love, his smile, his company, and to worship in the beauty of holiness. I am come, but if you ought to know his coming in that way, in that final way we have spoken of, you must first know something of the other comings we've spoken of tonight. This is a way to heaven, and the only way. Resting on Jesus, relying on Jesus, pleading the name of Jesus in prayer, following him, hearing his voice. If you are a stranger to him, as Saviour and Shepherd and King, you'll be a stranger to heaven's glory. But if he's called you by grace here below, he'll call you to everlasting glory and happiness hereafter. May it be so for each and every one of us. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £670, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman, and followed by a church meeting. And Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And God willing, Mr. Charles Warboys will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 18. Now to the Lord a noble song. Awake my soul, awake my tongue. Hosanna to the eternal name, and all his boundless love proclaim. Hymn number 18.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name this night. Bless thy word unto us. And grant, Lord, in thy mercy that thou wouldst come to each one of us and visit us with thy great salvation. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, abide with us now and forever. Amen.